Welcome to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name's Stephen Roach. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for dairy cattle health and welfare. I did my master's and PhD trying to understand how farmers, their staff, and their advisors can work together as a team to improve. And I'm part of a team that's working with the Dairy Farmers of Canada to help showcase the latest in dairy research for Canadian dairy farmers, advisors, and their supply chain. You'll find this channel features a number of different series, from animal care to biosecurity to research summaries and beyond. This podcast series features conversations with farmers, veterinarians, nutritionists, hoof trimmers, and other farm advisors, researchers, and many other industry stakeholders. Our goal is really to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. In this episode, we're joined by Anna-Marika Smid and Barina Traub, two researchers that are going to talk to us a little bit about their work on adopting outdoor access. Outdoor access is a hot topic within the dairy industry. Freestall-housed dairy cows show a clear preference for pasture, particularly at night. Pasture access can allow cows to graze and perform other natural behaviors, and providing outdoor access can play an important role in improving the lives of dairy cows. Of course, farmers know it's not as easy as just opening the barn door, and there are definitely challenges with providing outdoor access. Keep listening to learn more about dairy cow preferences, public perceptions around outdoor access, and the latest research in this area. So, let's jump in. Well, Anna-Marika, Barina, really excited to have the chance to chat with you yet again. The first time, I think, in the context of a podcast, but really excited to dig into some work that you've been conducting as part of Dr. Herman Barkema's research lab, really thinking about some important topics and key research questions, not just for Alberta dairy farmers, but Canadian dairy farmers more broadly, and frankly, a discussion that the global industry is having nowadays around outdoor access, exercise, and some of these important concepts from both a health and welfare perspective. So thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with me and chat.
Thanks for having us.
So I've done a bit of an introduction already, but Anna-Marika, I would like to start with you. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how did you get into this particular type of work?
Basically, I grew up in the Netherlands and I am from a big city, but I was lucky enough that my uncle has a dairy farm. So I didn't grow up on a dairy farm, but I kind of grew up on a dairy farm in the weekends, you know, and in the holidays. It sparked an interest from when I was very young of dairy farming and how taking care of animals, having that as your livelihood, and questions around animal care and animal welfare. So that made me decide to go to Wageningen University. It's a university in the Netherlands specialized in agriculture. Studied animal sciences there, did my bachelor there, did my master's there. Then I went to UBC, University of British Columbia, and I did my PhD there at the animal welfare program with Dan Wurry and Nina von Kaiserling. And then I proceeded to a postdoc, that's where I'm currently at, working with Herman Barkema at the University of Calgary.
Wonderful. Well, really excited again to have the chance to chat with you. And Barina, likewise, tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of your journey in academia at this point.
I am from small town Alberta originally, in a very dominant cow-calf operation area. I grew up with 4-H and horses and that sort of thing. So always on the countryside. And then I did my undergrad at the University of Saskatchewan in animal bioscience, and with the dreams of potentially becoming a vet one day. However, after working in vet clinics, I soon realized vet was not the path for me, but I am a researcher and a scientist at heart. So I ended up traveling for a few years and then came back and started my master's at the University of Calgary with Dr. Herman Barkema. So I'm a bit new to the dairy world, but I've been engulfed in it for a few years now and absolutely loving it.
I'm glad to hear that. So let's talk about some of that research that you've been engaged in. Let's start sort of big picture and we'll work towards some of the specific research questions, some of the methods you're taking. But what are you focused on in terms of some of the key research topics that you tend to be really digging into right now?
Yeah, well, I'm passionate about working with farmers and the animals and to improve the lives of both. So specifically right now, the research that I get to be working on is looking at outdoor access in dairy cattle. And I find this pretty exciting because it is a topic where it's provided in other countries a little bit more frequently than in Canada. However, we don't have a whole lot of research on this topic here. So it is a up and coming topic and something that I think farmers look to benefit from, finding out what the science supports in this outdoor access, turning cows out area of cow welfare and comfort.
And Enrique, anything you'd add to that in terms of why ultimately is this an important topic for us? Why are we focused on it?
Right. So yeah, I really like that question. But we basically, how we started all of this is by asking farmers their perceptions on outdoor access. That was initially Western Canadian dairy farmers. And then later on, we sent out a questionnaire to all the milk boards to get a more national understanding of this topic and what farmers thought in different areas. Because as you said, of course, like region climate influences the decision to provide outdoor access a lot. But there's more than that. There's also, you know, going into farmer's mindset. How do you like to work? Do you like to manage your cows more inside, more outside? Do you rather feed or do you rather change pastures? Like there's all sorts of things, right? So we knew quite a bit about the public perception on outdoor access. I studied, for example, in my PhD, I studied the preferences of dairy cows for different types of outdoor areas. But that part of what does the farmer think? What do dairy farmers think about outdoor access? That wasn't really studied yet. So that was one of the first studies that I did during my postdoc. And one of the things Brina kind of alluded to was that farmers, there's a wide variety of perspectives on outdoor access. But the interesting thing was that there were quite a few people that said, I don't have enough information and not enough knowledge for my farm, for this part of the world, to make an informed decision about outdoor access. What is it going to do to the economics of my farm? What is it going to do to the health of my cows? So that kind of sparked an interest in us also to explore those questions more and to provide farmers with more knowledge on this topic to help them make a more informed decision. Because in that sense, it can be, it's interesting because we have this idea that this is bad for the economics on our farm, but is it? And we're always talking about outdoor access for lactating cows, but what about dry cows? What about heifers? You know, does it have a positive effect? And if so, what are the positive effects on their health? It can improve the quality of life of the animals and potentially, of course, also of the farmers. So there's a lot of unexplored questions around this topic that I think have the potential to improve both the lives of the animals as well as the farmer.
So I've got two kind of follow-up questions related to some of the items there. So one is around consumer perspectives. I want to kind of just touch on that. And you know, Anamarika, you alluded to the fact that we have some sense for what consumers think. So I want to go there, but maybe before we do that, hopefully a simpler question to start off, which is defining outdoor access. So we use that term and for some people that means pasture, and in other cases that may not mean pasture. So when we say outdoor access, what are we actually talking about in the context of modern day commercial dairy farming?
Yeah. So with our study and with a lot of, like you said, Canadian commercial dairy farming today, there's such a large, diverse landscape here in Canada. And different types of farms that are being run with different land sizes and amounts. So we are not just talking about lush pasture for dairy cows. We are also talking about things like exercise yards and dry lots and these types of options that farmers have implemented already or think about implementing on their farm for their cows. And when we're looking at these types of things, it is also the different cow classes, like Anna Marika had mentioned. It's not just for the milking herd. We're also looking at when farmers provide these types of areas for their dry cows and how that might affect their transition disease incidences on farms and things like that, compared to farmers and who maybe do keep their cows indoors all the time. And that's what I think is most exciting about this research is it hasn't been done here in Canada yet. So being able to advise farmers on their different types of housing choices that many of them already have is going to benefit themselves and the cows in the long run.
Thanks, Barina. I think that's really helpful to just kind of set the stage a little bit. And you've alluded a little bit to some of the research questions you've already had or already have. But before we do that, Anamarika, maybe you can comment on the consumer side. Just give me a sense of what do we know, what is our supply chain, our customers, or at minimum, our consumers and the citizens out there think about or expect, maybe is a better word, when it comes to things like outdoor access?
Yeah, when we look at the scientific literature, there have been some studies done in Europe, in Brazil, the US, Canada, and they over and over show again that the public likes to see cows outside, and stress the word outside because people say pasture, but they also mention other effects of or potential benefits, what they think are benefits for cows of being outdoors. So space to roam around, laying in the sunshine, having a nice, like a nice pasture to walk on and to lie on and not to have to be on concrete. Certain things come up. And it is interesting because lots of what people say about outdoor access, so the public says about outdoor access and what they think is important for the cows, is are factors that extend beyond the provision of pasture access per se. So it's not just, that pasture, they need to be on that green grass. Outdoor access is very broad, as Brina already mentioned, not only for farmers, but also for the public. And what we do see, I mean, you and I, Steve, we were involved in this study together last year on a breakfast on the farm. And I mean, these are some preliminary results, but what we see is when people visit a farm, and these are most of the time lay people, right? They really don't know much about dairy farming. They have maybe visited a farm once, but not many, many more times. And they have a tour and they leave, and then they are generally positive. I mean, they like the farmer, they think that the people take really good care of their animals, but there are a few sticky things that people still seem to find difficult to deal with. And that is, amongst others, the lack of outdoor access for cows. So it seems to be a persistent topic that is not easy to change people's minds about. Yeah.
Great points, Anamarika. And also, in adding to that, I would like to say that there was a study Anamarika did herself last year or the year before, in which it did turn out that 75% of Canadian dairy farmers do provide some outdoor access currently for their cows. Although there are quite a few different types of milk options on the wall for consumers these days, and potentially their decision to not choose milk could be because of dairy milk, could be because of the outdoor access perception they might have. However, I do think that perception is a little bit skewed because a lot of farmers are already providing this for their cows in Canada.
Yeah, and maybe we should add that we were looking for farms for our study, right, in Alberta. So we've been studying, because based on these focus groups, we've been studying for the farmers, okay, what are the effects of different types of outdoor access for lactating cows, dry cows, and pregnant heifers? And the funny thing was that we had a really hard time in Alberta to find enough farms that actually have their dry cows and their pregnant heifers inside. So that was the opposite of what we were expecting. And I think it's also important when people think about outdoor access to not immediately think my lactating cows have to be day in, day out on the lush pasture, because that's not even possible. But it is, as Marina said, it's also about your young stock. It's about different types of outdoor areas. When you really look at that, it's like 3/4 of the people already have at least one cow class on at least some kind of outdoor area on their farm.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So it's much more of a common practice than maybe we assume it is. The royal we, not just consumers, but maybe some of us in industry as well. And that's a really, it sounds like we're working from a position of strength. We've got a lot of folks that are doing this at some level. And, as conversations and research continue to grow or focus on this topic, we probably have more opportunity to evaluate that. And I know that's what your, study or studies, depending on how things evolve here, are really focused on. So talk to me a little bit about what specific research questions that you're focused on here as it relates to outdoor access.
So specifically, this is a big epidemiology study. So in other terms, it is hypothesis generating. So we're trying to see if there is a difference, not a specific what is the difference. So in saying that, we are aiming to look at the mastitis incidence on farms, and we're trying to quantify the different pathogens that are present with farms that do provide outdoor access or don't, to see if there is a difference there. We're also looking at the dairy farm profitability with the implementation of outdoor access, so we can advise farmers on profitability factors they may want to look at if they're just choosing to provide outdoor access. We're looking at specifically transition cow health as well. So we're trying to see the incidence of disease on farms and if that is different, as well as the hoof health and if that relates to outdoor access or not.
Super interesting. And there's no doubt there will be more studies to follow from this one. I know that. That's like you said, that's part of the goal of this work, right? Is to identify if a difference is there, and then to start to explore this further, which I think really is a nice, strong approach to doing this. And I know other work has been focused on this area, maybe not in Canada, but there's, you know, of course, we have a global dairy industry. There are different expectations all over the world around many things. Outdoor access being one of them. And we have a lot of different geographies out there. You know, you think of a New Zealand, for example, where they've got the ability to do, they have a very different climate, and they have the ability to offer outdoor access, you know, all the time, if that's a preference here. So have there been other studies that maybe have informed some of your work? And if so, what kind of things are they showing? Do we have a sense for, you know, is it universally beneficial to get animals outside in some, pasture or a bedded pack or an exercise yard? Or are there some drawbacks as well? So how are you sort of informed coming into your specific research questions as you apply it here to Canada? What have other studies told us or shown us?
Yeah, good questions. So most of the studies have, when they look at outdoor access, they focus on pasture. And of course, then not most of the time, not in Canada, because, you know, Europe, New Zealand, you know, like you name it, they have more, more pasture-based systems. And I think one of the main takeaways of those types of studies or those studies over there is that it's complicated. It's not necessarily, you provide your cows with outdoor access, so, you know, they don't have any hoof problems anymore, because we all know concrete is not great for the cow's hooves, but then putting them on pasture is not necessarily, I mean, you still need to manage the pasture well, right? So I think that's very much where our study also kind of comes into, is we're looking at what are the risk factors, what are the pros and cons of pasture access and dry lot access and other alternative types of outdoor access. Because you need to know what are your risks to manage them well, right? We all know, like, there's lots of farmers that do a great job in an older facility, but unfortunately, there may also be some farms that have a great new facility that may not do so well. So it's management. It comes down to management a lot. So we're trying to also identify, by identifying what are the risks and what are the opportunities of pasture and alternative outdoor areas. If you know more about those, you also have more information on how to manage those. Because, for example, when you're talking about New Zealand, we know that, and this, I think this is actually a study from Brazil, but there have been a few studies looking at hoof health and pasture, for example. And then the interesting thing is that even the quality of the walkway from the pasture to the parlor and the speed at which the cows are walking, and, you know, maybe the stock personship quality, the quality of the stock personship, of the handling of the animals is so important, because if you rush them, you have more lameness issues. So I guess that's also a reason why we're doing this study. There are so many different factors involved. The climate is so different here. It's complicated. It's definitely not the case that, you know, I would say, if you put your cows outside, you have no mastitis issues anymore. No, you may have different types of bacteria that we're trying to explore as well, different types of bacteria that may pose more of a challenge than indoors, and vice versa.
One of the things I like to say in that context, I think you summed that up nicely, is I often say pasture is not pasture. It's there, you know, it's all in how you manage it. And which is, I mean, geez, isn't that the slogan for dairy cattle health and welfare in a nutshell, right? It's all in how you manage any environment, any situation, how you handle the animals, the weather, some of the factors that are out of your control. There are so many things to consider. And obviously our farmers are making decisions every day in the best interest of their animals. And this is yet another sort of series of factors that need to be considered. And not just those things, but also land ownership or land access, right? I presume that, you know, we're talking to a Saskatchewan dairy farmer right now in the middle of winter, well, that's going to be, maybe I have the land, but maybe I'm buried under so many feet of snow. If we're in Vancouver Island, you know, maybe I've got an ideal, ambient temperature and all of those things, but do I actually have access to land, which is not, it's not always available and it's not cheap either. And so I'm sure that every farmer listening here, whether it's within Canada or abroad, can appreciate there's so many factors within their own sphere of influence, let alone all the things they cannot control. And what I'm hearing from you, Anna-Marika, is that, well, it's complicated. We need to manage some of those things. We need to consider other things and probably try our best to make an informed decision about what's right and what's appropriate and beneficial for their animals and their farm. Is that fair to say?
I think so. And I think that's also a big reason as to why we did not only focus on the health effects, but also, and I mean, it's related, but in some ways, because if you have, you know, more vet costs and all of that, you have a more expensive operation. But it's also, you know, understanding the opportunity cost, for example, of mm-hmm. providing your cows access to pasture or growing corn in that field, right? So we are looking at those types of questions as well, because economics is important, right? That's why that part of our study is as important as understanding the health effects of outdoor access.
Yeah. And I think, Steve, that was really well said. It's all unique challenges. And I think that is also adds to why we are conducting our study in both Alberta and BC, because we do want to try and get a big, broad look at how these two Western provinces, they're different and it's going to come out as different and they're going to have different challenges. But hopefully, therefore, it will be more applicable to more farmers across Canada, getting to see what we find out of this study and how it might be unique to them or something they can, you know, disregard or take as just good knowledge for a friend.
Yeah, that's great. And that was actually a nice segue into the other major question I had, which was, how are you going about trying to answer some of these questions? So that's really exciting to hear that you're going to have some interesting sort of regional differences or some opportunity to compare, I should say. What are some of the other key sort of steps or characteristics of your study in terms of the method? How are you approaching answering these questions and sort of what timelines are we talking about as well?
Yeah, good question. We have enrolled farms for a 1-year period for the timeline of our study. We have 60 farms in Alberta and 60 farms in BC. And we are collecting a wide variety of different types of data. So we have observational data being collected, in which we're looking at cow cleanliness and housing cleanliness and those sort of things. We also have the digital and paper records from farmers, looking at the incidence of disease throughout the year, looking at, you know, the bulk tank somatic cell counts and those types of things. We've also asked farmers to collect individual samples of any mastitis cows that come through their parlor or get notified on their robots so that we can test those samples in the lab and determine what pathogens are present on their farm and causing these mastitis cases. And then lastly, we are looking at, we're looking at hoof trimmer records and the hoof health of cows, as we've mentioned before, as well as though we do have a large survey for the farmers to fill out that give us an understanding of their management practices. Because as we touched on earlier in this conversation, we all know that that's very important. And when it comes to housing and cow comfort and cow welfare, that those management practices are going to be a key factor in our study as well. So we do have a survey for them to let us know more information on those things as well.
When it sounds like what you'll be able to come up with, and maybe you can tell me if this is fair, is, you know, obviously those additional questions, plain and simple differences, like you said, is there an effect? And then beyond that, capturing what might be a number of risk factors or a number of factors that are important or influential in, you know, either seeing associations around outcomes, or just, you know, generating more questions to explore further. But maybe one other thing, and maybe this is an explicit sort of focus, is just understanding how people are offering outdoor access. Is that fair? Do we know exactly? I mean, you mentioned Anna Marika's study around 75% of farms studied were, you know, offering some type of outdoor access. But again, we've been talking all around this issue of, you know, not every farm can offer outdoor access the same way or offer the same type of outdoor access for the same length of time. So is it fair to say this study is going to also just offer us a better understanding of almost a description of how Canadian dairy farmers are approaching this as a practice?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I know we talked about the, you know, the more general public view of dairy farming and the layman person's view, and being a non-layman's person and coming to these farms and seeing all the different varieties of ways farmers run their farm has been really insightful for me. And so I think it's definitely fair to say that this study, if nothing else, will tell us, you know, what a large majority of farms in Alberta and BC are doing on farm. And I think that's important and useful information anyways.
It's basically, I think, also very much to provide farmers with more knowledge so they can make a better and more informed decision if they wish to do so.
Great. And that's what I wanted to get, was a little bit on, you know, obviously this work is ongoing. What do you hope to achieve in terms of impact as far as this research? Is it information? Is it awareness? Is it that kind of thing? Is it, you know, ideally informing and influencing the adoption of outdoor access, you know, pragmatically perhaps, or effectively on farms? Is it all of the above? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that has very much stood out to me since I started working on outdoor access is that it can be, it's not always, but it can be a controversial topic. And I think when it is controversial, it's touchy. It means that it's also important because, yeah, the public talks about it and they think it's better and all of these things. And I'm not saying we need to do what the public tells us is what they think is better for cows. But at the end of the day, we would like them to buy the dairy product. So, you know, we have to at least have that conversation, start that conversation. And I'm afraid that if we're trying to shy away from too many things, that we get into a situation that I'm very well familiar also with my uncles in the Netherlands, is that you're being told really what to do. And that is, I think, something that is never going to work, because then farmers have to implement things that they don't like to do and that will never really work. Yet it's happening in the Netherlands, right? So I feel like if we at least can start that conversation, and I think maybe to a few people may be a surprise that, you know, 75% again of Canadian farms that we had in our online Canadian-wide survey, they indicated that they provide some form of outdoor access to at least one cow class. So I would almost say, like, you can, 3/4 of the Canadian farms, you can already check mark. Yeah, you already do some form of outdoor access, right? Maybe not a cow on a lush, like lactating cow on a lush pasture, but there's some form of outdoor access. So it's not an uncommon topic for many people. It's just something that I think there are a lot of assumptions about. And I think starting the conversation, we can talk more about the challenges and more about the opportunities as well. And by being proactive about it, I think you keep the ball in your court and you can decide what you're going to do. But sometimes that also means looking a little bit outside of your farm, maybe even to your neighbors, maybe listening to, you know, the public's concerns, because ultimately I think we all want the same thing. We want a sustainable dairy industry that is workable for farmers.
That sounds like a really strong set of take-home messages from, based on our understanding today, and obviously your work as you move forward is going to help inform that. Brina, would you add any to that sort of take-home message type feel that Anna Marika just offered?
All I would say is that improving the lives of the cows and the farmers is ultimately the biggest impact and goal I would like to take out of this. And I think that knowledge will provide them power in making decisions and making hard decisions to improve their life or the life of their cows. And that's ultimately the biggest impact I hope that this study can have for the Canadian dairy industry.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And just another I'd add, it, you know, listening to the two of you talk about this, listening to your understanding of what others are expected to do in other countries, for example, or what other researchers are finding in terms of results related to the provision of outdoor access is, you know, we do have some guiding principles in Canada, like ProAction, right? Like as designed by the Dairy Farmers of Canada, which is based on the Dairy Code of Practice. And the Dairy Code of Practice has recently been updated. And when you look and search for expectations, whether they're requirements or recommendations around outdoor access, you don't see any specific requirements. You see lots of talk about outdoor access, the importance of it, the potential benefits around it, and the acknowledgement that it's complicated. We see recommended practices like as a guide to provide cows with around 50 hours of outdoor access within any given 4-week period. But it says, you know, it has so many caveats around weather and conditions permitting. And I suspect, not being at the table, but I suspect that the reason we're not seeing requirements there is because of just those factors that you've outlined and just those factors that you're going to explore. And so I bring this up as an opportunity for impact, as I would fully expect your work is going to be informative as we look to evolve our dairy industry towards continuous improvement, to address supply chain expectations or concerns, and also to continue to put the farmers and their animals first when it comes to assessing everything from economic viability to practicality to impact and effect at the end of the day. So I would add that as an important take-home message or an important potential impact of this work. And my final comment would be just a thank you. I think it's, you know, it's really important that you're doing this type of work, taking a very practical approach to it. Very excited to hear about the results as you get come up with them. And we'll look forward to having you back to perhaps break down some of those results when you get them. So thank you very much for taking the time to chat today. Really looking forward to the future results of this work and the work to come in your careers.
Thanks so much for having us. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. For more information, please visit dairyfarmersofcanada.ca/en/dairy-research. This podcast was narrated by myself, Stephen Roach, produced by Aaron Winans, and edited by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. The research showcased in today's episode was partly funded by the Dairy Farmers of Canada, Results Driven Agricultural Research, MyTax Elevate, Alberta Milk, Sask Milk, and the Dairy Farmers of Manitoba, in addition to Dr. Barkema's NSERC Industry Research Chair. This podcast series is part of the Dairy Farmers of Canada's Dairy Research Cluster 3, a national research funding program made possible by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's Agri-Science Clusters Program, the Dairy Farmers of Canada, Lactinet, and Novalay.